Amen, and thank you, choir. That was wonderful. The scripture today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8 through 13. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We've been on a five-week journey doing a worship series called Do Unto Others. Part of a campaign for kindness being held around the country by various Christian churches. I think some maybe even non-Christian churches are doing it too. Today's our final message. And to begin this final message, I want to share a couple quotes for you. The first comes is a quote from the noted psychiatrist, Dr. Carl Menninger, who said, "Love is the medicine for the sickness of the world." Now, Dr. Menninger summarized his therapeutic approach this way. So love cures. It cures those who give it, and it cures those who receive it. Now, the second quote comes from someone perhaps more universally known than Dr. Menninger, Linus Van Pelt from the Peanuts comic strip, who said, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." In our ever more polarized society, we might be more in agreement with Linus than Dr. Menninger. Polarization is to see those with whom we disagree as others, and then deem the others as unlikable, untrustworthy, and morally compromised. So how is love the medicine for the sickness of polarization and brokenness in the world? So to seek to understand how we can love the people in this world, we turn today to Paul's well-known words in 1 Corinthians 13. The first part of 1 Corinthians 13, leading up to verses 8 through 13, are all included and often read at weddings and put on greeting cards and things like that. But they were actually addressed to a very polarized and divided community. They weren't flowery words of some ideals. They were marching orders for the followers of Christ who were falling far short of reflecting the humble, other-oriented, self-sacrificial, enemy-embracing love of God. Paul was trying to show the Corinthians that, in the end, nothing matters more than the answer to one question. Are you living out the love of God revealed in Christ? Now, Paul begins verse 8 by saying love never ends. Love never falls away. It never disappears. It never quits. Love persists despite all the obstacles and rejections it may experience. And Paul contrasts the profoundness of this love with things that will not last, things that will quit, things that will pass away. The spiritual gifts Paul lists, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and knowledge, were the favorite gifts of the Corinthian community. They held them in high regard and considered that a big deal. And Paul is saying that as important and in God-given as these gifts are, and all spiritual gifts for that matter are, they were never intended to last forever. When the spiritual gift has fulfilled its purpose, it will end. But love, on the other hand, never ends, never quits. It never fails. Paul emphasizes in verses 9 and 10, where he says, "For we know only in part, we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end." The complete refers to when God brings creation to completion, when the final harvest of which we are the first fruit happens. It's partial now because of the brokenness of humanity. But God is going to win, and because God is love, completion is when God's love is fully realized in all of creation. And Paul goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Childish ways means appropriate to a child. Most children think, act, and behave in ways that are appropriate to being children. But when you get older, those things appropriate to children are no longer supposed to apply to you. Right now, we are in a childlike existence. We're in the process of becoming grown up, but we're not there yet. And when God establishes his kingdom, we will be grown up. And everything we understand now as partially, everything we need now for faith and for hope will no longer be needed. Paul goes on to add, for now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Right now, we know some things, but we don't know a lot of things. We don't understand those things. In fact, we don't even know how to look in a mirror correctly. The way we see ourselves, the way we see others, the way we see the world, the way we understand God is only in part. It's blurred. It's hard to understand it all. But when the complete comes, all the things that keep us from knowing ourselves, knowing others, knowing God, knowing the world will go away. All the deceptions we've bought into will go away. The only thing that will remain is love. In that love, we will know ourselves, others, God, and all creation with perfect clarity. And then Paul concludes with these famous words, and now faith, hope, and love remain, these three, and the greatest of these is love. As important as faith is, as important as hope is, the greatest thing we can have is love. On Remembrance Sunday, this service isn't really about another remembrance of loved ones. What this service really is about is remembering that for Christians, death is a temporary farewell. Because Christians believe and Scripture affirms that love never ends. Love is eternal. Now, some people think that the idea of love never ending is another lie that Christians have bought into as a way of dealing with grief and brokenness. But to buy into that, to say it's just a lie that we try to live out, means that this life is meaningless. Means that our core convictions that good should overcome evil, that love should reign, and life should make sense are fundamentally wrong. It means that in the end, life is painful, tragic, and absurd. Now, it's my conviction that at the core of every human being, there is a revolt against that idea. There's an impulse to believe and trust that the reason for everything and the goal of everything is love. Which was why when Paul says love never ends, there is something at the core of our being that says yes to that. It's the reason why when we hear the story of Christ's resurrection, there's a part of us that says yes to that. To the proclamation that death could not hold him in the ground, there's something in us that says yes to that. Because at the core of our being, there's something that says love should not be conquered by death. God, through Christ, is victorious, showing that love cannot be conquered. And God's love will reign supreme, and all who say yes to that love and allow God to transform them by that love will reign with Christ forever and ever. Love never ends. It's the only thing about which that is true. The central goal of human life is to live in love. What that most essentially looks like is not our beliefs or our ethical convictions or our good deeds. It's the quality of love that we have for all people at all times. We're not to do a single thing that is not done in love, and for the purpose of furthering love. Jesus put it this way. The whole law is summed up in this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when we subtract love from our beliefs or our ethics or our good deeds, what remains is something that Paul describes as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's nothing more than religious noise. Well, in fact, what results is worse than noise. What results is a religious idol. You see, all division, judgmentalism, and Pharisaism is a result of doing good stuff for the wrong reasons. If we're not doing stuff out of love and to further love, it is a wrong reason to do it. It's the reason that the prostitutes and the sinners and the tax collectors didn't gravitate to the church the way they gravitated to Jesus. They stayed clear of the church because there are people in the church who get life from the fact that their beliefs and ethics are right as opposed to wrong, good as opposed to bad. And when that's the case, you do not have love. What you have is something that's not only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, it's destructive. The only source of life is the love of God that flows by His grace to sinners, such as us, who open our hearts to Him. The only thing that manifests life is the love of Christ flowing out. Followers of Christ don't get life from their beliefs, their ethics, from being good or being right. Followers of Christ get life from Christ and Christ alone. Now, don't get me wrong, it's important to discern our beliefs and ethics, to understand right from wrong and good from bad. But if we take love out of the equation, all we have is an ugly, divisive, judgmental, pharisaical, demonic religious idol that will do nothing but harm us and anyone who meets us. Love is the most important thing because it never ends. Love is the most important thing because it's the only thing that's stable. Everything else we know is unstable. Even spiritual gifts are unstable. We can become better at using our spiritual gifts, but we can never master our spiritual gifts. Because spiritual gifts are the gifts the Spirit gives us to be used for God's purposes. And as such, God's Spirit determines when and how they are used. So we can't get life from what spiritual gifts we have. Our beliefs and ethics are unstable. We can't get life from them either. Because through spiritual growth, education and learning and life experiences, Christians do sometimes change their minds on topics, on issues, on how they understand Scripture. So if we're getting life from our belief in ethics, we can't possibly be open to really talking about issues. All we can do is get mad when people disagree with us. And if an intelligent, godly person disagrees with us, then we must convince ourselves that they're not really godly or intelligent, because if they were godly and intelligent, they would agree with us. Establishing life on what we consider certainties is what causes churches to divide and Christians to stop talking with one another. In the name of their rightness, they lose love. I mean, you can have your convictions, but don't stop processing and growing and learning. Don't build your life there, because the only thing that is stable is love. The only thing you can always do in all places is love. You can be certain or confused. Either way, you can love. You can be doing good ethically or struggling ethically. Either way, you can love. You can be healthy or sick. Either way, you can love. Things can be going well or going bad. Either way, you can love. You can have your opinions and thoughts lined up nice and neat, or have everything you think being questioned. And either way, you can love. You can know Scripture forward and backward, or not understand Scripture at all. Either way, you can love. Whatever our circumstances and situations are, we can stand on this. We are loved and we are called to love. Hope may falter, faith may falter, but the greatest of these is love. Because it is one thing that is stable, and it's the one thing that's eternal. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, Paul says that everyone's works will be tried by fire. So what that means is a lot of what our lives are is going to get burned up. It's not going to last, because only what is consistent with God, who is perfect love, can enter the kingdom of God. The only things that will survive are things based on the foundation of the love of God expressed in Christ. Only what is done for the purpose of love and out of the motivation of love will last forever. So achievements, recognition, influence, and power in this life will burn up unless it's based on the purpose of love and comes out of the motivation of love. We may have those things in this life, but if they're not based on a foundation of love, they will not go any further. The only thing that follows us past the grave is anything that was motivated by the singular motive of love and for the purpose of furthering love. When we love like God and we mirror Jesus Christ in our lives, we participate in God's life, and God's life lasts forever. Everything we do that is motivated by love and for the purpose of furthering love has eternal dimensions. Every thought we have, every word we say, every action we do can have an eternal dimension if it's motivated by love and used for the purpose of furthering love. And this means that every time we ascribe unsurpassable worth to someone when it would be easier to ignore them or judge them, we are participating in the eternal life of God. When our kindness is motivated by love and used to further love, when our compassion is motivated by love and used to further love, when our humility is motivated by love and used to further love, when we show respect to someone and that respect is motivated by love and used to further love, we're not just being good people. We are participating in the eternal life of God. We are doing something that has eternal implications, because love never ends. You know, I think my ears changed. I just want to stay on. Really the only justification for having an organized religion is so that we can love in bigger ways, so that we can cause bigger eternal implications together than we can do individually. So every Halloween fest, every backpack, every hygiene kit, every canned good, every action we take with Topeka Jumper, wherever it is, we can do more together, motivated by love for the purpose of furthering love, than we can do individually. We pool our resources, our energy together to do loving things that have bigger eternal implications. And as I close this message in this series, I want to thank you for all that you do in love and tell you I'm so grateful to be doing that with you. To end today, I'm going to ask that we pray the corporate prayer that 5 weeks ago I asked you to put someplace and to read it daily. Last week we did this, and I asked you to think as you said the words together about respect, about the words you speak. Today I want us to pray and think about how we're going to live out the love of God that never ends from this point forward. So it's going to be on the screen. I'm going to ask you that we pray it together. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we put our trust and hope in you alone and commit to serving as your ambassadors. Cultivate your love in us. Help us show gentleness. Help us be patient, bearing even with those who anger us. Help us make peace in this time when peace seems so rare. Help us understand one another. Help us offer the benefit of the doubt to those around us. Empower us to choose love, even in the small opportunities of everyday life. Amen.